Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas. What a couple of great guests we have for you today. We've got Adam Mills, cycling coach extraordinaire, and Alex Hohen, the new U23 national champion, joining us. Adam, Alex, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So let's start out with the two of you. I'd really like to kind of get out of this and just hear how you came up with your plan and your preparation for the U23 championships. Adam, let's start with you.
Sure. So the U23 national championships is, it's a, the epitome of what I would just say, like a one day epic race, like right up there with some of the best stuff North America has to offer. And in that regard, you have to be able to ride hard for 4 hours or more, like minimum of 4 hours. And so regarding this one day effort, you know, we were in essence training for a big day that's a hard ride. And I guess the other component of this is Alex's decision making process in the races has to be not flawless, because that doesn't really exist, but also not so flawed that it affects his race. And honestly, like, we've also just been working towards his really big late season goals, which are this Tour of Utah, Colorado Classic, and now we just had one more added, and I'll let Alex talk about that. But so we've been doing a number of big rides, hard efforts early, hard efforts late, because that seems to be how the one day races go down. And then Alex is putting together the physical tools are there, and that's easy for me as a coach. But the learning process of making good decisions all day long is something that Alex had to learn, because he's pretty new into the sport, and luckily has a great team and a great director with Mike Creed and the Evolo team to help him with, like, race time strategy and tactics.
Alex, your thoughts?
Just on preparation for these races, basically everything Adam had to say was spot on. We've been doing really long rides, intervals early, intervals late, and it really just comes down to what Adam said, race time decisions. Like, you got to make those split second decisions to get yourself in breaks, and you have to know not necessarily every single name in the race, but you have to know the big teams and maybe one or two riders on those big teams. And so that, to narrow that down, it really makes it easy to look out for who's in those breaks. And so when you get in those breaks, you can see, okay, if there's guys from every single big team, this break has a, 80% chance of surviving. If it's got one of the big teams and three big teams are left out, maybe 10 to 15% chance, just because, the big teams are not going to let that go without them. Basically all, looking at the rosters, looking at what these other big names in the races have done in previous races was another part of my preparation for this race. So not only do I train physically, but I study the race, which is really important. to know who these guys are, what they've done in the past, what their strengths and weaknesses are. And essentially, it'll help you make a race time decision of whether you can beat them in a sprint or whether you have to drop them and go solo because you know they'll beat you. So that's really, really important as well.
So many questions for you, Alex. It really sounds like you went into this with the goal of winning.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is, you know, probably not my most favorite race, you know, as far as the climbing goes, because I'm more of a climber GC rider, and this was more or less, you know, the elite men race came down to a 50-man field sprint, so that kind of gave you a somewhat of an indication of how the race was shaping and how it will shape for most races. And so I was like, oh man, this is going to be a hard one to win, knowing that I can't out sprint, you know, seven people here. So yeah, it was a good race though. I was definitely coming into the race wanting to win, and we did just that.
Now, Adam, listening to Alex, I mean, you were saying that he hadn't really been in cycling that long. I'm wondering how, I mean, first of all, he sounds extremely mature for a U23. I'm really thinking about the mental aspect. There's no communication going on. He's got to be aware of so many things. How did you work with him to get him mentally prepared for this?
So I've known Alex for a handful of years. We were introduced via a mutual friend he lives in Denver, maybe Longmont. His name is Phil Groniger, and he introduced me to Alex and to Alex's family. And at the time, Alex was too young to really be able to kind of participate in the program that I was heading at the time. That was the what went to become Elevate KHS Cycling now. So I'm removed from that program, but I still help to get it where it is. The next year, you know, Alex kind of caught my attention with a performance in Tour of the Gila. And so that's when we started getting more involved, and I started working with him more closely. But you're right, he didn't know a whole lot. And so from my perspective, I have to not teach him, you know, if this, then that kind of scenarios, but teach him more strategy. And Alex comes from a hockey background. And so being coached and having someone explain to you why you're doing what you're doing has always been part of his sporting nature. And he's very coachable. So he's young, and we've all made bonehead maneuvers in races, but then when you explain it to him, he listens and it makes sense. And then that's an error you don't see again. And if you do, it's, you know, it's just because he didn't really have much of a choice given the situation. But that's kind of how we've developed. And I've always challenged him to do things like, hey, you have that start list roster. So let's look at the USA Cycling race predictor. And let's look up the top 15 guys and see what they've done, and see what kind of riders they are, and you know, go from there. And a lot of this stuff, like the radios, you see the riders online, like those are good. They definitely help you. They're more effective at giving you time gaps and telling you like sharp corner coming up or obstruction in the roads, you know, back off or whatever, like from a safety aspect. They're not good at telling you, like, mark this move right now, because the director's in the car. They can't – if you're further back than car three, you can't really see anyway. You can never see the front of the race because you're behind the peloton. So these individual, like, tactical decisions of do you go in this breakaway or do you not, or do you go in the breakaway and see if it could work and then go from there. And that's all stuff Alex has learned and done really well. And I'm not the only one helping him. Again, his team helps him, and the director from there, Mike Creed, has a history of doing fantastic stuff with programs. So you have to give him a lot of credit also.
Alex, it's so refreshing to hear of someone who is so coachable. It doesn't sound like you let your ego get into the way when you're learning.
No. I definitely, you know when I make mistakes, and I made plenty of mistakes in cycling and in hockey, and, you know, growing up being coached, like Adam said, you know, it has definitely made me know where my place is and know when I've messed up. And yeah, so no, not at all.
So Adam, there are so few Stars and Stripes winners out there. What was it like for you to have Alex approach you and say, you know, Adam, I really want to go into this with the goal of winning?
I mean, and that's the Alex part of it, where we get along pretty well, is I don't think Alex wanted to admit to himself 100% that it was a winnable race. I think he wanted to stand behind the I'm training for Utah and Colorado veil a little bit longer, so to give himself the out. And I think he started looking at the rosters, and I talked to him a little bit, and his dad probably talked to him, and his director probably talked to him, and convinced him, like, this is a winnable race. It's very winnable for him. And so I think it wasn't something on the radar on January 1, but I think when it got there, he focused really well on just making sure that was a solid day for him.
Now, Alex, I want to really hear your description of the race, and I'd love for you to start by telling us, what was your mental state when you went into this? Feeling a lot of pressure, nervous? What was it like for you?
So I get nervous when I get into big races like Nationals, Utah, and Colorado. But, you know, our director talked to us, you know, a lot through the day and, you know, the evening before. And going into it, like, we just had to race. You know, there was no pressure. I mean, of course there was pressure, and people were looking at us, and everyone was knowing, like, oh, hey, Ebola's there. They're gonna have to win, or they're not gonna. You know, they brought so many guys, you know, blah blah blah. But, you know, for me, there wasn't a whole lot of pressure. I was, you know, going out there to race my bike, and that's what I love to do. And when it comes down to it, you know, you can race your bike, and you can do as best you can. You follow the team orders, and you get in breaks, and you just race. So, I mean, no, there wasn't an extreme amount of pressure. Now, when I was in the break and they stopped the race, that, you know, that kind of got a little more tricky. I was like, oh, man, not sure what's going to happen after this. You know,
now, whoa. You were in a break, and they stopped the race?
Oh, okay, yeah. So we were racing for about 3 hours. Our whole team was covering moves, left and right. We were always making sure, Ebola guys were in the move, and, we were basically racing for a sprint finish. So we were going to be like, okay, guys, you know, you go, you attack. And if you really want to break, you can make it work. You can work, you can make it, you know, you can establish it. But we have two of the best U23 sprinters in the country. We are totally fine with the field sprint. You know, that was kind of like our bluff going into the race. And so getting into the break, finally, about maybe 2.5-3 hours in, it started raining. And, you know, everyone races in the rain. It's not bad. We were fine. And then, like, all of a sudden, after the fourth lap, they stopped the race. They had lightning concerns for the race. They were all around the course, and they basically just stopped the race and told us to go back to the start finish, and they'll let us know when we can start again. But by that time, it was like monsoon raining. Like, it was just dumping rain, lightning everywhere. It was nuts. So yeah, it was the weirdest race I've ever been in. And they kept pushing it back and back and back. You know, 20 more minutes, we'll make an update. 20 more minutes, we'll make an update. 30 more minutes, we'll make an update. So finally, about 45, 50 minutes, maybe an hour, I can't remember how long we waited, but it was a while. And so I was like, man, I wonder how my legs are going to react to this. I've never stopped racing and then raced again. It was almost like a mini double day in a way. It was the weirdest thing. And yeah, there was, you know, 8 guys in the break. We went back on the line, and they gave us a minute gap going from the start finish area. And Yeah, well, I won't finish the whole story if you have some more questions, but that was the
I want to hear the whole story.
Okay, all right.
Let me jump in and say the stoppage time for that race was almost 2 hours. And that's
really?
Yeah. Wow. According to your power file, it was almost 2 hours.
Man. Yeah. So, you know, everyone is tired after that 2 hour break. Everyone just wants to shut their legs down and you have to be mentally, you know, focused, and you have to be making sure you eat the right amount of food and what food to eat before the race starts. So you can have the biggest advantage going into the second part of the race, I guess you can say. And, you know, I think, so I actually was texting Adam during that break, which was really funny. I was like, Adam, are you kidding this? I'm racing nationals and we had to stop. And I was texting him about that. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting updates on Twitter or whatever. So it was really funny. And, he was giving me information and he was helping me quite a bit about, what to do for eating and stuff like that. So, just, you know, what to eat right before, how much caffeine, how much time before, you know, so that all helped going back into the race. And so we start racing. There's, 8 of us, I believe, and 2 of us are not working anymore because the other guy who was in the 2 teammates that were in the break, one of them was doing all the work for his teammate because they believed that they had the best shot at winning because there was only 1 Evolo guy in this break of 8 instead of the 6-7 behind me that would probably do really well if it came down to a field sprint. So they were definitely gunning for the break. And so it came around the last, you know, I'm waiting. My director's like, Alex, you got to go soon, man. The team's on the front. They're chasing the break back. So yeah, they put the team on the front to chase the break back because the odds for us were not great. So that was smart by our team, to essentially pull the break back and go for a field sprint because, you know, it's hard to put all your eggs in one rider, all eggs in one basket. So they did that. Our break still had a 25-30 second lead with about 10K to go. And I was waiting. So I knew the moment I had to attack was this one uphill that I've been reconning day after day before the race. And I was like, this is the spot I have to go. You know, there's no steeper part in the section of this course. And that was about 5K to go. And a couple K before that, I put in some big attacks to soften the field up a little, see who can come with me, see who's, you know, doing okay. And I brought it down to 3 riders. It was me and 2 other riders. And we go up the last climb that I'm like, you know, waiting for. We take turns pulling and I'm at the back and I pick my moment and just hard. And they couldn't follow the acceleration. One of them was working all day, so I'm sure he was extremely tired. And the other one wasn't able to hang as well. And so I looked back after I turned right up the hill and it kicked up again. And so I had to give it another, you know, effort to make sure the gap was really going to stick. And I looked back and I think I had like 8-9 seconds on them. And, you know, I had one thing I had to do and that was just to time trial all the way home with about 4K to go and never looked back from there.
And at what point did you think I've got this?
Oh man. So I did not look back with 3K, 2K to go. So I was like, man, they could be right on my tail. Or they could be way back, and I don't even care at this point. I'm going to go as hard as I can go. And if they can catch me going as hard as I can go, then they deserve to win this race. But if they can't, then, you know, I'm going to leave them, and I'm going to drop them hard. So probably my coach was my director was on the radio talking to me about, you know, just really encouraging me, you know, you got this, man. You basically just have to go to 1K to go, and then it gets kind of technical for the last 800-700 meters. And so probably with 1K to go, when it started to get slower and more technical, I took a quick look behind and didn't see anything. And I was like, oh my goodness, I got this. I'm going to win this race. So yeah, around 1K to go, I'd say.
And what was crossing the line knowing you were the national champion like?
Oh, it was, I was like, no, I did not just win this race. Like, you know, I was so in shock. I was like, oh, this is unbelievable. Did I just win this race? Like, I kept questioning myself. I was like, no way. Like, that did not happen. Like, because this is the biggest result of my career so far. So, you know, not having many of these, have many of these chances to win, you know, they're so very few. And I was just beyond, like, stoked to come across knowing that I won, and just I couldn't believe it, basically. It was just, yeah, pretty crazy.
So, Adam, you've got some big races coming up with Alex. He's going to be sporting the Stars and Stripes. How do you get ready for these, and what are your goals?
So, oddly enough, with Tour Utah starting next Monday, and with him having to travel in a couple of days to get there in time to do team presentation and media stuff, because apparently, I guess a lot of people are probably going to want to talk to him now, which makes sense. And then only having 3 days until Colorado Classic starts, you know, a lot of the preparation for those events has already been done. And Nationals was kind of the final kind of form display or form tester, like you could call it, or just final push for these races. And, you know, then he traveled home on Monday, and then he's kind of just been riding easy enough to get recovered, but then hard enough to kind of keep him fresh. And so we're kind of on that soft landing aspect for these next two races. And then as far as I know, well, and then we have another late season edition. And so then the season's over, but that's coming up.
Now, Alex, you've got some huge events coming up. You got to be excited. I mean, that Stars and Stripes jersey is going to just be some extra motivation, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about your goals for Utah, Colorado, and this end-of-season event.
Okay, so we've basically been training for Utah and Colorado for quite some time now. All this training, all of July, has been for Utah, Nationals, Utah, Colorado. You know, I'm super excited to get to go to this huge race, and, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. But so this late edition race that I'm talking about is, so I got to so winning the national championship gave me the option to go to Worlds. So I will be representing the United States at the World Championships later in September. And that will be held in Austria, Innsbruck.
Okay, I'm speechless. That rarely happens. Adam, yeah, and Alex, I mean, what was that like to find out?
Well, I know the criteria well enough to know that he was going to get asked, but I didn't want to tell him because I wanted him. I didn't think Alex knew because, you know, you're 20 years old and you know you want to win U23 championships, but like the idea is so abstract until you put that jersey on that most riders don't even think, oh, now I get to go to Worlds. And so having USA Cycling ask Alex that, I didn't want to take away that surprise. So I left that on purpose for him. So sorry, Alex.
Yeah. No, fine. I didn't even know when I came across the line. Like, that was not the first thing I was thinking of was, oh, nice. Now I just get to go to Worlds. Who cares?
You know, it's so refreshing to hear this relationship that you guys have. I love it.
Oh, yes. Adam is amazing. I like Adam.
Yeah, well, and let's not forget that we do, like, we have our challenges, you know. Alex is 20-something years old, and every now and then you have a bad day, and, you know, the first few times you have to remind him, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's just a bad day. So go, like, you know, go home, like, eat some pancakes and just relax, because bad days.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. You know that.
I know, but sometimes recovery days are the most important thing in your training schedule. So
I know.
He's handled it well, and I think Alex has a lot of great things remaining in his career. I don't see why it wouldn't. He's got all the tools you need to go a long way in sport. So it's good to watch.
Alex, I'd love to find out your goals about Utah and Colorado, but we're going to do that in our next show, because we're going to be getting daily reports and updates from you from each of those races, and hopefully we can connect with you when you're in Austria as well.
Yes, I would love to do all three races.
Anything you'd like to add here at the end, Adam?
One last thing about the race, and that's a reminder that Alex had a fantastic ride, but you should never discount that his team helped him a lot, even behind him, being able to ride that tempo, the chase back, the break. He's, you know, Mike Creed's covering Alex from behind, which is really strategically and tactically, that's a big deal to even know how to do that and then to do it. And I don't know if it would have changed the outcome, but it definitely was a key component of him winning. And, you know, hats off to Alex for his win, and definitely to Mike Creed and all the rest of the Evolo riders.
Adam Mills, Alex Hohen, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Awesome. It was a pleasure as well.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.